quiet, wherever human rights are being violated, wherever injustice can be found, wherever inequality can be seen, there have to be a community of people who fight. And I am honored to be among that community and to receive this recognition today for that fight. Thank you so very much for doing what you've done for me, but more than that, for all of the people around the world suffering from inequality and injustice, thank you for recognizing the importance of our struggle.
Brian Stevenson is winner of this year's Right Livelihood Award, awarded last Thursday. To see the full ceremony, you can go to democracynow.org, referred to often as the Alternative Nobel. This Thursday, on December 10th, International Human Rights Day, the Nobel Peace Prize will be given to the World Food Program. And, of course, we'll be covering it. A very happy birthday to Igor Moreno. That does it for today's broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Libby Rainey, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tay Maria Studio, John Hamilton, Rabbi Karen, Hani Massoud, and Adriana Contreras. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 7:59 a.m. Next up, we have more talk radio with Cecil and Celeste, followed at 9 with the Old Mole Variety Hour. Okay, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi, this is Cecil, and you are listening to More Talk Radio with Celeste. She will be here soon. This is KBOO-FM More Talk Radio, and this is your opportunity to share and be with one another as we continue our days ahead.
Oh, good. I think I'm back.
You're back. Okay.
Yes. I went flying off into the ether. You know, I think we got spinning too fast, and I didn't have my seatbelt fastened. Next thing I knew, I was in the ether. I think my theme song is way too apt for 2020. You know, it's got us puzzled, but we're going to figure it out. Yeah, I think I had a moment of prescience there when I picked that song for some reason, because it just seems to exemplify where we are right about now. So, good morning, everybody. It's Monday, and you know, it's December 7th. It has been a month and how many days? 3 days? 4 days? I don't have my calendar in front of me, so I'm a little bit off in terms of the actual days that it has been since the election. So let me see. It's been a month and 4 days.
And I thought you were referring to the 79th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941.
I hadn't even got there yet. No. I'm still spinning off in the ether as far as, you know, some events are concerned. But you remembered it. You got it down pat. I don't know how you remember some of these dates and facts you do, but I guess maybe then I'm, you know, I do what a lot of people do and what Benedict Cumberbatch as Sherlock does. He'll get rid of stuff. He deletes stuff from his mind if it's not relevant. So, you know,
exactly.
There's things I guess I just delete because I just feel like, okay, I used it. I don't need it again. Will I ever in my life? No? Okay, good. It's gone. Oh, wait. That was the year I was born. I might need that again.
Right. So let's share with those who are listening some of the things we would like to have a conversation about this morning. And among those is the word that seems to be a buzzword these days is the word resilience.
Yeah.
Why is that important?
Well, here's how this whole thing turned out. This is how we came to this. I was out at getting my eyes examined, exactly what I was doing, and I listened to one of the other customers there talking about how horrible things have been. And I heard something that's been kind of repeating, you know, it's chorus that we've heard many times and maybe have said ourselves, is that I can't wait for 2021 to get here. Now, in my kind of weird sense of humor, I went off on some reverie, and the first thing that popped into my mind was, well, I morphophysized 2021, and I said, well, what if 2021 doesn't want to come because we have put a whole lot of pressure on this new year to pop up pristine, pure, and totally peaceable. You know, it's going to be nice to us. And what if 2021 decides not to come here? What if it just doesn't show up? Maybe it says, I just can't handle all this pressure. I'm not coming. So here we are sitting up in, you know, February, March, April, and it's still 2020. Now, I know that's absurd. Don't tell me, you know, don't assume I've lost it due to stress from COVID. But my point is this. We're putting a lot of pressure on a really arbitrary boundary. Catastrophe has no obligation to respect the flip of a calendar page or the second hand or the year moving in any more than, say, rain has to respect the fact that it's raining on the house next door, and therefore it really doesn't need to rain on mine. I'm good. I like sunshine, thank you. And I think we are so weary with the modern consciousness having to grapple with things like a global pandemic and actually global forest fires and how about global political and social unrest or global economic challenges, you know, and closer to home, how about a president who is disbelieving and denying COVID, yet catches the disease and then claims immunity, and then whose best friend or one of his best friends now is suffering from it, but yet continues to rant and rave about the election rather than take care of the people that he has sworn to protect. And these kind of things assault the mind, and we find that we're not able to handle stress, and we're tired, and we don't want to abide by rules because, well, it ought to have quit by now, hadn't it? And we have these ideas that things are going to be okay, but that's not realistic thinking. That's magical thinking. And magical thinking doesn't get us out of situations, but perhaps resiliency can. And so, you know, I broached this to Cecil, and I said, how about we talk a little bit about this resiliency and look at the ways in which maybe we can work on sharing some strategies, because just because it's going to turn into January 1, 2020, in about, 22 days or so, whatever it is, a little bit more than 22, I'm sorry, 2 weeks and 2 days or something like that, it's not enough. There are so many more things that could not happen or that could happen that are taking us away from the idea of being strong. And so we wanted to share some of those. Now, whether you look at the seven resilience skills, or whether you subscribe to the idea that there are five skills, basically we're talking about being self-assured, self-aware, confident in your ability to cope, staying connected with sources of support, talking about what you're going through, being helpful to others. Trump, you might learn from that one. Activate positive emotion, cultivate an attitude of survivorship, and then to seek meaning. And that seek meaning is really an important one, because you will find that those who have gone through the Holocaust, and I'm struggling right now with the man's name. I remember reading his book in one of my classes, and he spoke to how we seek meaning, and having survived the Holocaust, he wrote a book of philosophy on what amounts to a really strong form of not just survival but resilience. And we wanted to talk a little bit about that, and then just also talk a little bit about some of the other things that are going on right now during this particular time and period that might challenge that resilience. You know, like one thing is having hope that this vaccine is going to work. But Cecil and I had an interesting, kind of dialogue about that, and I'll let him kind of take it from there.
Yes, among our conversations was concerned about what will happen when the vaccine is available, and one question, who is ready for it, who will take it or not take it? I'm not sure I want to go down that hole. But I also want to ask people, how will life change when we are over this hump, when the vaccine is available, when many people have it, when we're looking at COVID as something that happened in the past? I'm curious about how life has changed or will change. What do you think will change about our social connections, the way we interact with one another? What have we learned from this time of exile from one another, and how will things be different? Will we interact differently? Will we conduct business differently? Will restaurants and theaters be different? Will the ways in which we do education, will that change? Will the way we speak to one another change? And so much of our communication now, for those who who have the capability in terms of working through different social media platforms? Will that change the way we interact? Will people prefer conducting their business or conversation over a social platform such as Zoom or Skype or something else, or will they go back to physical interactions? Those are some of the thoughts I had. And just to refer back to what we began our conversation with is in terms of resilience, and Celeste listed several things which measures resilience. I'll also just resource Dr. Ann Marston, who's a professor out of the University of Minnesota, and she says, while there's a general agreement that resilience refers to positive adaptation to adversity, but there are different perspectives on how to exactly define resilience. Her own view is that we need to think of resilience as a capacity of a system, whether the system is a person, a family, an economy, or community, to adapt successfully to challenges that threaten the functioning, the survival, or development of that system. And Celeste referred to survivors of the Holocaust in terms of how they adapted and survived, not only while in the Holocaust, but afterwards. And we can also refer to times and people and situations who have experienced trauma and how they survived, and what lessons do we have to learn for those. So those are some of my thoughts, and I will ask you to give us a call with some of your thoughts on resiliency and what happens next. Our number is 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share your thoughts and your wisdom with us. Celeste.
Yes. And let me remind you, just in case you forgot, that you are listening to Your Community Connection. This is KBOO Portland, 90.7 in the Portland metropolitan area. If you're in White Salmon, Washington, or Hood River, Oregon right now, you're listening at 91.9 FM. If you're in the Willamette River Valley, it's 104.3, and you know the drill. When it's everywhere, it's KBOO.FM, and this is More Talk Radio with Tuzel Prescott and myself, Celeste Carey. So we're waiting for you, you know. So, I think the author's name, and I probably should look it up. I do have a computer right in front of me. I don't know why I'm being reluctant. Viktor Frankl, does that ring a bell for you, Cecil? Sound familiar?
I have to unmute myself. Yes, Viktor Frankl.
Yeah. And so I remember reading that book, and you know, the idea of survival through extreme means is not just a part of, or not just relegated rather, to Holocaust survivors, because when you look at what Black Americans have gone through, this has been a heavy year, 2020, just in terms of that 365-day period, not to mention all the generational challenges from slavery through, you know, Jim Crow to the new Jim Crow, which is now. So, you know, there's lots of groups who have gone through what could be construed as genocidal, but most definitely could be construed as some type of cultural or ethnic holocaust. And so, you know, there are lessons to be learned from the human being, the human spirit, across cultures, across nationalities, across the continents. And so, you know, resiliency is something that is not only a tool that's built into us is actually an obligation. You know, life preserves itself. It fights to preserve itself. And so we should be trying to tap into that force, that gestalt, and find a way to live, even though it seems that survival technique, we've politicized it by boiling it down to something really simplistic as it's my right. I don't have to wear a mask.
We have a caller.
So let me give the phone number again, and we'll go to our caller. The phone number is 503-231-8187. And good morning.
Chief Crow.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to talk about the lockdown. I want to talk about COVID and how this is basically just a cover-up for the reset. The government has no right, absolutely no right. There's no justification for a lockdown. There's no justification to close down businesses. I'm a local musician in Portland. People want to lump me in with right-wing people. People want to lump people together and divide people. And the main virus right now, the only virus, is the mainstream media. And we have to look into what's being censored right now. There's uprising happening all around the world. Spain, Germany, Australia, there's huge marches where people, everyone's coming together. America is one of the only countries that is being very divided right now by the mainstream media. And I don't know if you heard the saying, do you remember the old saying, the revolution will not be televised? Well, the revolution that people think that is happening right now, where they're talking about skin color and this and that, that's being pushed by corporations in the television, where the actual real revolution that is happening is not being televised, and that's people pushing back against the lockdown, because Kate Brown has no right to shut down businesses. OSHA has no right to write $90,000 tickets to Benchmark Gym. If this was about health,
okay. So wait a minute. I need you to
hold on. Hold on. I'm not done yet. I'm not done. Hold on, because this is what happens last time. This is what happens last time I called into the radio show. You guys talked over me, and then you guys hung up on me last time I called into any KBOO Talk Radio. So I only have a little bit of time right now. So I just want
to
make sure that you guys know that there's a pushback happening right now. And if people can find it in their hearts, really think about it hard. Go to the forest, meditate, think about it. Does the government have a right to tell you what to wear? Does the government have a right to close down your business while Walmart's open right now with hundreds of people walking around in there? This is not about health. This is about control. The mask is the symbol of obedience. Go to the forest and meditate.
Can you pot him down for a minute so he can hear us? You've unloaded so many points rather than to have it sound like you're just, you know, going off. We wanted to just have a dialogue. That's all. I'm not trying to cut you off. Could you pot him back up, please, Ty?
The most dangerous thing to the system is coming
together. Okay. You're not trying to have a dialogue. Pot him down, please. Please, Ty. Here's the problem. I don't think you're necessarily wrong about some of the elements that you're saying, but if we can't have a dialogue, then, you know, you're going to get dismissed out of pocket by a lot of people because you're just running off. You're not even taking a breath. You're breathing through your eyeballs, and you're not opening yourself to have a dialogue and maybe rationally share your points with folks. You know, yes, the government actually does have a right. You know, you have a business license. So that means that you can't open a business unless the government allows you to do it, and you're going to be able to make more than a certain amount of money. I see your point about why are certain businesses open, like Walmart, but small businesses can't. Now, having worked as a nurse and having learned the basics of trying to quell and squelch transmissible diseases, I think you're missing the whole point. The COVID really is real. I mean, Cecil and I have a mutual friend who is, you know, we're saying prayers for her because we don't want to lose, and it's not the first person that we know that has died from this disease. It's real. So what's your response to that, caller? Are you saying that we should not have protections against this very real disease? Or are you saying the disease isn't real? Because that's some of the dialogue I want to have with you. Okay.
So our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And how are you not only managing, what are the tools for your resilience? And how are things different, or will things be different? Celeste suggested that 2021 is an arbitrary number, because, you know, I don't suspect that COVID is going to say, oh, it's a new year, let me go away. Things will more or less be the same. But when COVID is in our history, how have our lives changed? Our last caller, I believe, was sharing some of his thoughts about how he felt encumbered by restrictions and the need to speak out strongly and forcefully against any sorts of restrictions. It would be helpful to learn in any discussion about how things have changed and what we have learned from our experience in 2020. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's see what we can learn from.
We have Brian on the phone. Brian is on the phone.
Good morning,
Brian.
Good
morning, Brian.
Yeah, hi. You can hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
All right, yeah. Hey, thanks for letting that last caller talk. I was really hoping that he would talk. I don't hang around with enough people that have that point of view, and I really want to hear them express it, and I want to understand it. I really want to understand it. I have a hard time with that. And so thank you for giving him a chance. I just wish he could have settled down and had a conversation.
Too.
That would have been great, actually, if he had had that. But I think a lot of times the idea is to just get as much of this stuff out there in the airwaves as possible, and, you know, that's what he was doing.
It's never been successful, though, Brian, because what happens is the moment you start just running off like that and not responding to somebody trying to actually dialogue with you, it just cuts a lot of people's attention. They just turn it right off. And rather than have him seem like he's losing it, I wanted him. He made some good points, I thought.
Yeah. I wanted to know more about some of that. I really did, and I want to understand it. And I also know that we have to realize that a lot of the things that, you know, I consider myself progressive, and a lot of the points that we've been pushing for years, and a lot of our heroes, you know, Martin Luther King and some of the great leaders, have said some things that can be turned into sound bites. And they are. We can see the evolution as the right wing takes on some of those sound bites and takes on some of the talking points and some of the phrases to kind of turn them around from the other direction. It's pretty clever, and that's one of the things I've said for years: is the right wing seems to have a much better grasp of language and lingo and sound bites than the left wing does. I think it's because mostly we like to talk about truth rather than manipulation. But anyway, that's just my point of view. But anyway, I really appreciate that, and I have heard in the past on KBOO where some of my favorite hosts have cut people off before they got a chance to really let it out. My wife is really good about listening to the other side of the radio and paying attention to that. I have a harder time because it raises my blood pressure so much, but I really appreciate that. And so when they come on, I want, let them talk, have a discussion. I want to hear this. I want truth, and if they've got elements of truth, I want to hear it. But thank you for letting him go for a little while. And my last point, this is totally off subject. Last time I called in and I said how much I love your old theme song. And
yes.
I just wanted to...
You know who that's by? Did you want to know who that was by, Brian?
Wasn't it Gerald Albright?
No, it's George Howard. And the name
Howard.
Of the song is Africa.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What's that name of it?
Africa.
Oh, it's just called Africa.
Yeah.
George Howard. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much, because I love that song. I'm going to have to go get that recording so I can hear it in some other time other than Monday morning.
Okay. I'm glad you like it. It was a favorite
thank
of
you,
mine.
Guys.
It just seemed appropriate.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You know, one of the things we heard from a lot of callers anecdotally, sending emails, making phone calls, and what have you, is that they have a tendency to tune out people who sound like they're in the middle of a rant. and it's not always the best radio. So, you know, what I want to say is take a breath when you, and I understand people get cut off. You know, we try not to cut people off unless they just, you know, want dialogue, and you don't have to have, you know, a nonstop conversation. You could have like a blocked, you know, view. You just don't want to hear anybody, blocked ears, you know. But we try to dialogue, and I would say if you have some concerns and you want to make sure that you get a chance to air them, just, you know, breathe and give us a chance to dialogue. We try very hard to do that. What are you going to say, Cecil?
Yeah, I wonder, you know, part of what, and I cannot read into anyone's mind, but I wonder if part of the need to say as much as you can without taking a breath, because of the sense that you have to get it all out because no one's listening, and you have to shout and scream because you aren't being heard. And
yeah,
if you have created an environment where people feel as if they are heard, perhaps we can lower the temperature just a little bit and engage in dialogue or conversation. People don't think alike, but I think we have to move beyond seeing a person with a opposing viewpoint as quote unquote the enemy, and the need to either cut them down or eliminate them in a way so that you can be so-called victorious. I think part of where we are today, I hope, is we need to find ways in which to move beyond being the opposing view as the enemy and building community. I hope that one of the things we learn from this time is the need for community and finding ways to hear and connect with one another. And I know I'm probably being, you know, woo-woo, but I really think that society need to encourage meaningful dialogue, and we need to open our hearts to one another. Okay, end of sermon.
David is on the line.
All righty, and you are listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil and myself, Celeste, and the phone number is 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
David.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hello.
David.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question about another industry, but it will quickly turn over to what we're dealing with now, and it's the oil industry and that, you know, for our energy.
Well, David, that's not the topic of the conversation.
No, did
today.
You hear what I said? I'm going to link it to that. Just answer me one question.
Okay.
Should we let,
just
one question. Should we let and then decide our whole energy future and stuff? Nobody else, just let them decide it. Is that a good idea?
Let who decide it? I didn't hear all of what
Exxon
you said.
And Chevron. Because they're the biggest oil companies. They know more about energy than anybody. So shouldn't we just let them decide our energy future and not have congressmen and plain people like us?
Well, I would question your definition of all, because they don't know all there is about our
exactly.
Energy.
I'm saying that sarcastically
Okay, now I did listen to you. Let me finish.
Yeah.
But they know a lot about oil.
Yes.
And they could learn more about other energy sources, but they choose not to. Now, if you're trying to draw an analogy between these big oil companies and government, you kind of come a little bit better than that.
No, so I'm not.
Exactly,
it's not big oil. Listen, no, not the government. I'm talking about big oil and big pharma. Big pharma. Should we let big pharma decide on medical stuff and what kind of prescription drugs we should be taking with all kinds of side effects and crazy stuff going on. That's what
A lot of people are not looking to just jump into that vaccine if that's where you're going.
Listen to Amy Goodman. She's rolling her sleeve up just waiting for the vaccine. Come on.
Well, and that's her choice.
I know, but you said
I'm going to say where I am on this.
Okay.
I'm going to wait. And one of the reasons I'm going to wait is not that I'm an anti-vaxxer. I got my marks on my arm for vaccine. One of the reasons I'm going to wait is not because I don't trust quote-unquote white superior and white culture organizations. That has nothing to do with it. The main reason I'm not in a big hurry to take this vaccine is because there are other vaccines I have taken and they abscess in my body. So yeah. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I'm going to wait because my body doesn't like vaccines. Now, that's a personal choice, but I'm taking other precautions.
I'll give you another good reason to wait, okay? Can I give you another good reason to wait? These companies, they cannot be held accountable. They're immunity-free from any kind of coming back to them. So they can put out one, and it can cause you to go blind or whatever, and there's not a thing you can do about it. So
that they're immune. You know,
okay, well, check it out. Okay, I could go on more, but I think we've said enough. Unless you want, I can tell you more about Big Pharma and the way they operate through the big corporate media that the other guy was talking about.
We know that Big Pharma doesn't have our best interests at heart because there's this classification of medications called orphan drugs. Okay, and I have friends and family members who have sickle cell. Now, if Big Pharma really cared about us, they would kick out that drug for sickle cell by now, but they won't. But like other orphan drugs, they can't make enough money off of them. And if Big Pharma really had our interest at heart, they wouldn't charge different prices depending on what level of development your country has. So some countries pay more for drugs than others. So I hear what you're saying. I just, you know, what I want people to do is be discerning and do their research. But I'm not going to say out of
pocket.
That's
what I feel.
I feel you.
Okay. Take care. We'll talk again maybe sometime. Bye.
Okay. Thanks for your call. And I'm sorry, you know, I'm a person of color that was born in the United States of America, of Native American and Black ancestry. It's like I'm not trying to hop up here and just be a guinea pig, you know.
I hear what you're saying, Celeste. I also need, you know, to remind that Black Americans are 2.5 more times likely to contract COVID-19, nearly five times as likely to be hospitalized, and twice as likely to die, according to the CDC. So,
add into that, we may not get good care once we get to the hospital.
And I think related to that is a challenge to see that, as you suggested, that good care is extended to those populations that are being most impacted, who are suffering. Therefore, I am encouraged by a stat I read, and this is off the top of my head, so don't quote me, that the percentage of those during the trials who are people of color is 30%, so that not only white males are being tested, but people of color are also being tested during the trials. And so the challenge is, because of the hesitancy and the fear of the healthcare system, that when a vaccine is available, that those communities who are poor, who are people of color, who are rural, will have access to the vaccines. It's a question of, again, of health equity. And
yeah.
So this can be, it's more than a philosophical discussion. It's one in which people's lives are at stake. And so whether or not you want to be the first in line to get a vaccine, I want to make sure that when the vaccine is available, that those who are poorer, who are living in rural situations, and to extend it beyond the United States into those countries that are not first world countries, that all will have access to the vaccine and to good health care. So that's a challenge, and it's more than a philosophical discussion about whether I'm a vaxxer or anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, the reason I had to say that is because I've actually been accused before the person heard my reason in a different argument about why I wasn't in a big hurry to get the vaccine. And when I told them, oh, I've had vaccines and they've abscess. Oh, I thought you were being an anti-vaxxer. It's like, No, I'm just trying to live.
Molly's on the
medicine
line.
That's supposed to help me live. We have somebody else online, did you say, Todd? Okay,
Molly.
Good morning, Molly.
Yeah, good morning. Well, I want to thank you for keeping democracy alive and letting the people speak, whoever they may be. And I appreciate that and the theme of resilience. There's a lot going on here. For one thing, the vaccine is I just want to remind people, is being pushed because of this terrible pandemic that we're in. And to address that one caller, we are a nation of rugged individualists, which works also against us when we need to be working together in one world, like the World Health Organization, which I might add Trump disbanded us back when we really needed. We need to work as one world with this vaccine. And I'm with you. I'm all for the vaccine, but I'm not going to be the first to take it because, let's face it, we're all guinea pigs in this big pandemic experiment that we're in. And I really appreciate your allowing all types of voices because what I want to say is the resilience of the human spirit, to get back to your original theme, is a beautiful thing, like spring when it bursts through the dead ground of winter and back again to life. It's an amazing thing that we are in this life, and certainly the African-American people are a fantastic example of this resilience. This country has been formed and everyone's entitled to a voice, but those voices were suppressed and dehumanized for way too long, and we are dealing with the Black Lives Matter movement now, which I'm so happy to see how it has pushed through some of these boundaries we've been dealing with. I want to mention that it's Otis Redding wrote the song "Sitting on the Dock of the Bay" on this day, but he never lived to hear it played on the airwaves in all its beauty because he died in a plane crash 3 days later. And the humming and the whistling was the words he hadn't yet even put to the song. So we are living in a vibrant moment of resiliency that is still resounding our past. And I appreciate the great movement that is coming from all the peoples, and certainly the people of Black. It's beautiful. Black Lives Matter, but I came from back in the day when it broke through that Black is beautiful. And I just want to see us get to become a nation that you are expounding on this program right now, of everyone's voice matters, because until we can get to that point where the opposite views are listened to, tried to understood, education implemented to get through these barriers that have been created, and that's a long road. We're still on it. Evolution is still happening. And I just hope the resilience happens with this pandemic, that I understand the businesses, the woman who was so angry that her business had to close when she put everything into it, and the next door they had the movie set with the food. Everyone's able to eat. I understand the anger, and it's something we've never dealt with, but we have to come together as one people to, you know, break this virus, whether it's through the anecdote of the vaccine or just in time we will get through it, like the plague that Camus wrote about. We just have to be patient and care for everybody, because rushing back into it will only make it worse and will close it down more, and people need to realize that. But it's hard. I certainly don't have the answers, but thank you for letting me have my voice.
And it's scary, you know.
Very scary.
Yeah. I understand why people are freaking out about their business. It's not them being selfish. It's them wondering, how am I going to eat? How am I going to pay my employees?
Right.
Yeah, okay, for some people, maybe their act is selfish in that. I actually saw a guy on TV say he was going to that restaurant up in Washington that's open, and it's drawing all these people, some of whom you know are going to be COVID infected. And so that event is going to turn into a super spreader event. And I was upset because this man says, well, I'm a big boy. It doesn't matter. I don't care if I get COVID. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's take this to kind of an absurd action, but look at how relevant the conclusion and the results would be. So he doesn't care that he gets COVID. What if somebody from the health care community saw that, took a picture of him, and then showed his picture to everybody in his area and said, this man said he doesn't care if he gets COVID. Should we treat him? And people think, well, you know, that is kind of scary, Celeste. Doesn't he have a right to be treated? Well, yeah, he does. But when you stop and you think about how we triage who gets organ transplant, what would be the difference? And see, when you take that arrogant leap like that and say, I am an island, I am master of my fate, and I will do what I want to do, you're forgetting that you are part of a network of humanity, and you're forgetting that somebody got to take care of your ass. And if
you are disrespecting
that human network that gives us that freaking resiliency that we need right now, then how can you expect somebody to have compassion on you and want to take care of you? This woman was in another article was just complaining because she begged her boyfriend not to go out. He went out, he got COVID, and all the time she was taking care of him, she was so angry at him. What does that do to both of them? It tears them
down.
Well,
we have to listen to our elected leaders, whether, you know, because, you know, as it says in the I Ching, the superior man is who we need for a leader. We don't always get the superior man to lead the people, but we do need people setting these rules, like Kate Brown is trying to do. It's not easy, and it doesn't, you know, it's hard on people, but the bigger picture has to be kept in mind, and this is what leaders are there for, to lead us through the darkness to the bigger picture of the promised land that we all need to get to in our lifetime, and we all deserve to live the American dream. And unfortunately, we have a lot of, you know, hunger and poverty and huge issues to deal with. We have to let the leaders lead us through that, because rugged individualism, everyone grabbing the rifle and going, hey, I want my restaurant open, I need to make a living, that's not going to work.
Hey, I hear you on that.
Right.
And, you know, and the only way we can do this is to listen to each other, even if we make each other mad. We still have to listen, because I want to know what the person's need is rather than their want. And once we talk about each other's needs, and then we accept that we have a valid need, maybe we can get somewhere. Maybe we need to still keep talking. I don't know.
We have the ability to feed the hungry people of the world, not just this country, but we have to come together. As my father said, it isn't us or them, it's the hyphen. It's what happens between us that matters. We have to reach out to each other, help each other, because it's ourselves that we are reaching to and helping when we do that. we're all connected, as Chief Seattle said, like a web of human life forms, all life forms, not just human. We need to protect it all, care for it all like it, ourselves.
Very much.
So I'll get off now and let another person come and speak, which is your show is very wonderful for that reason. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO.FM. Our number is 0503-231-8187. Our initial or our ground level point of discussion this morning is resilience. How will we respond? How will we find a way of moving beyond once COVID is in our rear view mirror? What are things that we can learn from one another? What are lessons, and how are we able to create a universe where all are allowed these things? We mentioned some things earlier about resilience and defining it. Several people have called and shared their thoughts and their concerns. Some about who are angry about restrictions placed upon them, and others who took an opposite point of view, saying that we need to realize that we are not only social animals, but we live together and we have created a community. Those are things that we need to balance out one with the other. And as our last caller was sharing in terms of, you know, listening to our leaders, and I can imagine those who are libertarians who want to say, I lead myself. I think we need to recognize that this is something that none of us have experienced before, and that we all are going to make mistakes as we stumble along to the other side. And so, you know, I think we need to lead with a little bit of leeway, knowing that those who are leaders or ourselves, we don't have all wisdom. We can take some hints from, you know, 100 years ago or different crises, health crises throughout the world, in recent decades and over the centuries. But we are taking one step at a time, and we don't know exactly how we're going to get there. And so I think we need a little gentleness or compassion with one another. But what are your thoughts? What are ways in which you think that we are resilient, or are we? Our number is 0503-231-8187. Give us a call and share some of your thoughts.
Francis is on that. We have Francis.
Francis, good morning.
Good morning. I know this is not what the last caller was referencing, but about 70 million people in this country are listening to the current leader right now, and I don't know that that's quite the way to go. I'm concerned also about the vaccine because of how hastily it has been created, and I do want to... I don't really want to find out that it's okay at the expense of other people's possible bad reactions to it, though. So that's going to be interesting. I do want to know, when we talk about equity in health services, how it is that a few people are able to get their hands on these antibody cocktails that seem to really help recovery, and why that isn't more available to everyone. It seems that since there's so many cases of this virus in the country right now, that there should be plenty of antibodies around. So I don't know why that isn't being developed more to actually treat the disease, because it seemed to really work for some people, like the president and I know there was an actor up in Vancouver, Canada, who was able to use that antibody, and it was very, 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 very successful. So I'm not quite sure why that isn't being further developed and promoted. When we talk about resilience, when you mentioned that word, it brought me to a conversation that I had recently with my brother and my daughter, who is Irish African American, and I was talking about the book that President Obama wrote, one of his first books called Dreams from My Father, I think it was Dreams from My Father, when he talked about how young black people, when they lose their innocence, he was around the age of 9 or 10, and he called it losing their innocence, when he read an article, he was waiting for his mom at the library that she worked at, and he got a Life magazine, and he read an article about a black man who became very ill, taking some chemical to try to change his skin white. And all of a sudden he realized that his own skin color was going to make a difference in his entire life. And he started to cry because the realization came to him. And that makes me really angry, because after all these many, 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 many years that we've been talking about this issue, that young people still have to experience that. And I was complaining about it to my brother, and he was talking about some of the Trump supporters he knows and how they respond to every dog whistle he blows and all this stuff. And my daughter said, Mama, it's always been that way. It's going to continue to be that way. She said, it's all about how we navigate. And I thought, oh my God, that's pretty much the way it is. The young people have to develop skills in navigation.
Yes.
And in whatever their circumstances, if they're in isolation in the penitentiary or dealing with some jerk out here, they have to develop these tremendous navigation skills in order to just be resilient.
Yes, indeed.
And I admire that resiliency so much. And, of course, President Obama has some pretty excellent navigation skills, as far as I'm concerned. But it shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. And
it is.
The inequities are probably the most difficult for me to accept, because I don't think people are that stupid that they can't understand fair is fair. But apparently it's going on a lot.
It is. That's part of the experience. So thank you so much, Frank, for calling and sharing your thoughts this morning.
Yeah, and I agree with you that we should be kind and gentle and empathetic with each other right now. And the whole kind of pessimistic and really kind of mean spirit is not going to work.
Oh. Okay, we have to, about to end our program soon. So thank you so much, Frances, for calling and sharing. And remain resilient. Celeste, you are not coming through. You have to unmute yourself. Well, Celeste is figuring out technology.
Okay, there we go. I had hit mute. So, you know, the bottom line here is we need to talk to each other and listen to each other. But we're not obligated if you can't speak calmly with respect. And when we're sitting up here trying to figure out where does my rights begin and where does your right end, you know, we have to stop looking at it as me and mine and you and your. We have to start looking at it as we, because that's one of the pillars of resilience, is that you help others and that you support, you know, your community. If your community is a community of one, you know, you might suffer by yourself, you know, mm-hmm. because I, as another human being, I'm not going to be rushing out there to help you if it's just about you and yours.
All right.
What was that you said, Ty?
No, nothing here.
Oh, okay. Well, first, before we go, we only have about 2 minutes. I want to thank Ty, our engineer, for holding sway because he has to juggle all these calls with not the most modern telex system. So kudos to Ty. And Cecil, you want the last word?
I cannot sing. Hey, I do have a question. You know, I have to go and get my pneumonia vaccine. So this morning. So I shouldn't fear that, should I?
Now, I'm going to tell you like I tell everybody else. Do your research. Know your body. Know your body. But all those things that you can do to protect yourself and everybody, let's do them. Let's wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance, pray, drink lots of water, you know, all that good stuff.
And stay tuned here on KBOO for more exciting radio. this has been More Talk Radio. I am Cecil.
I am Celeste, and we'll hear you next week. We are expecting to have nonprofits that are part of the Willamette Week Give Guide, and we hope you'll stay tuned and be a part of that experience. So thank you all for supporting your community connection, KBOO Portland.
Willamette Week Give Guide this year. When you support KBOO through Give Guide, not only does it support your favorite community radio station,